Say what? The Vatican just ordered the cancellation of this Latin Mass at the Spanish Youth Pilgrimage of Our Lady of Christendom? Why? Cardinal Mueller explains why, but you won't believe it. Plus, uniting the clans in Africa as the Latin Mass summits Mount Kilimanjaro. Plus, big news from the Catholic Identity Conference. Yet another bishop to speak live and in person at the CIC. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Michael Matt. This is The Remnant Underground. I have got some big news tonight. So excited. I really can hardly believe that this is happening. Can you? I mean, it's just, it's so providential. I'm going to get to it in just a moment. Can't wait to share it with you. And it's actually not really unrelated to this latest bit of bad news out of the Vatican regarding the Synod on Homosynodality. Some of you, you might remember, thought that I was kind of, I don't know, jumping a shark, out over my skis, whatever, a couple of years ago when I was sitting right here insisting that the whole point and purpose now of the Synod on Synodality is to bless and approve the homosexual lifestyle, including homosexual acts, right? This is what synodality is all about. The last thing, the last, last line in the sand that separates the Catholic Church from nearly every other organization in the world. If you want to be a globalist player, you have to remove the stigma attached to homosexual acts. And that, dear friends, is what the Synod on Synodality is going to do. Now, that was 2 years ago. Put a link down below for that whole program from 2 years ago. And some of you, again, were pretty upset, you know, that that was it. Now I think there's really a lot less reason to be upset with fiducia supplicans, with Pope Francis coming out wanting to bless homosexual couples and all that. Well, maybe there's something to this. Maybe the whole synod is actually about that, right? Because now from that clip, fast forward 2 years ago to just 2 days ago, when, drumroll please, Pope Francis named Father Maurizio Chiodi, who is called the Italian Father James Martin, who's argued, you may remember, that what the church needs to do is consider the possibility that homosexual acts can sometimes be morally good, so says Father. Now, he's been named by Pope Francis as one of the only 7 members of the Synod on Synodality's study group on controversial doctrinal, pastoral, and ethical issues, you see? And you know what they're doing, of course. They're listening to the people who are telling them, because they've been completely dumbed down, because they don't have any Catholic sense anymore. They're listening to the people who are saying, we want to have homosexual unions, we want to have gay marriage in the church. I say, well, really? Well, if that's what the people want, we're going to have to give it to them, you know, just skimming over the fact that the dumbing down process has been going on for 50 years. That's the reason the people are demanding things like this, demanding that the church bless and approve sins that cry to heaven for vengeance, according to the Bible, right? So this guy, who Francis has just named, another Father Jimmy Martin of Italy, he's also pro-contraception. But who's really keeping track anymore? Yeah, they keep talking, don't they? They keep talking about mis and disinformation, and what a threat that is, and Francis doesn't like fake news. Everything they do is mis and disinformation. I've said that down here before many times to people who are suffering from the affliction of homosexuality and so forth. What are they hearing from the church? They're hearing fake mis and disinformation. Oh, the Catholic Church has changed her teachings, friends. We welcome you. We want to hug you. We want to bless you, right? They're not getting the truth. They're getting disinformation distilled from the Vatican itself. So I don't even blame the poor folks who are out there going, oh, I guess it's okay to be gay then, to be practicing homosexual, right? The Vatican is doing that. The Vatican is presenting this mis and disinformation to sinners all over the world, right? So now it's within the context of what's happening with the Synod on Synodality that I really believe that God's providence is all over tonight's big announcement. I'll get right to it. Ladies and gentlemen, I am honored to announce tonight for the first time the latest addition to the Catholic Identity Conference roster of speakers. Catholic Identity Conference is going to happen at the end of September in Pittsburgh, as you know, this year, live and in person. We are so honored, we are so happy to welcome His Excellency, the Most Reverend Emmanuel Badejo, Bishop of the Oyo Diocese in Nigeria, chairman for the communications of the Symposium of Episcopal Conferences in Africa. He's a big deal. He's a big deal, right? His Excellency has officially confirmed he will be joining us. He has accepted the invitation to the CIC. And again, just could not be more grateful to him and grateful to God to have another shepherd of the church, this time from Africa, joining us in this effort to keep the old faith, right? To keep the faith of our fathers. Now, unfortunately, the bad news is, that's all the great news, right? The bad news, for those of you who have not signed up yet, the Catholic Identity Conference sold out in record time. I don't know even when, weeks ago.
Early June,
it sold out. As you know, Candace Owens is going to be there. A lot of great speakers this year. We are going to have a live stream, so I want you to keep an eye out for that. I think it may even be ready by the time this video drops, but you can go to CatholicIdentityConference.org and sign up for it. And believe me, once it's completely ready for registration for the live stream, we'll let you know. It'll be all over social media, be running newspaper.com, everywhere, okay, Twitter and so forth. So you definitely want to make this, help us make the Catholic Identity Conference this year the shot heard all around the world, right? We can work on this together. Because think about it, friends, think about it, right in the middle of so much confusion, and there's so many doubts and so much disappointment, frustration, even depression, like what is happening to Holy Mother Church, right? When is something good gonna happen? Friends, I am so happy to let you know and to drive this point home. At the CIC, four bishops will come to be with us, to be with the flock, to be with the sheep, the scattered sheep, gonna come together. Four shepherds to speak in person at this year's Catholic Identity. This is huge, friends, huge. So again, please, please don't tell me that God has abandoned us and that there's no reason to hope. Every day something else happens. This is just the latest where you can see this shaft of light, of hope, right? Coming from Providence itself saying, don't give up, don't give up. You get out there in the middle and I'll meet you halfway. I will show you the way. That seems to be the message we're getting right now from Providence, right? So much is happening right now. And obviously, I want to put all of this in the context. We here at The Remnant have opened up a new front line. We're going to do everything we can to promote this. We'll call it the African front line. I'm going to do everything I possibly can to unite the clans with our African brothers and sisters. And believe me, the Vatican is watching this because the Vatican has concerns about the fidelity to Orthodox Catholicism that's happening all over Africa right now. You know what I'm talking about, right? In fact, by the time this video reaches you, if you're watching this, I personally will be in Africa making good on my promise. A few months ago, I promised you that I would climb Mount Kilimanjaro to help raise awareness, first and foremost, about what's happening down there. Important things are happening down there. Also to raise funds, specifically, this isn't just some amorphous, I just want to just support the good work that's happening. No, specifically, as you'll recall, to raise funds for the traditional Catholic missions in Africa, traditional Catholic missions in Africa. You know, and this is what I'm just so excited because as our team has been developing this thing, it turns out now that we will have the great providential opportunity. This is going to be happening probably as you watch this, either that or either when you see this video or tomorrow, Sunday, or maybe Monday of this week. It's going to mean that we will be bringing the Latin Mass. Think about this. In the moment when the whole world is talking about the Latin Mass, this is going to be the opportunity for us to bring the Latin Mass to the rooftop of Africa. Kilimanjaro is called the rooftop of Africa, the White Mountain. Kilimanjaro, the highest freestanding mountain in the world. And it's going to take our team 7 days to climb this thing, right? So it's a big venture. It's a tough challenge, which means, and we're going to be promoting this on Remnant TV and Twitter and wherever we possibly can, Wi-Fi and cell signal allowing as much as we can. We're going to be promoting the Latin Mass every day all the way up the summit of Kilimanjaro. It's a big deal. With the special intention now of asking God's grace, asking God's protection on the Latin Mass throughout the world, and also a special intention for you, for all of us, that as this all unfolds, this crisis in the church, right? We've been talking about it before. The Latin Mass movement is right at the center of this of this hurricane, isn't it? It's always in the news. It's a big deal. What do we need to do? We need to keep it together, all of us. That's our job. We need to stay united. We don't all see eye to eye on this, do we? This Archbishop Vigano thing just happened. There's issues with the Society of St. Pius X. All these things are happening where the devil is trying to divide, conquer, and destroy this movement, which is advancing a holy cause, right? We got to anticipate that. We know that's happening. So my intention doing this, my personal intention, is that we can have charity, prudence, wisdom, and better insight as far as not only what we should do strategically, how do we do, you know, how do we move forward, but also how do we stay together? How do we forgive each other? How do we be forgiving for people and understanding for people that don't see it just like we do? I want to do this. I want to do this for the movement. We have to stay united as God shows us the way, the path, and how to move forward, right? So that's the spiritual intention of all this. And also, I want to remind you also now, this is a team effort, especially those of you who helped to sponsor me to make this climb to raise money now for the St. Benedict House of Studies in Singida. I pledged to raise $5,000 for these guys because they're training young people, they're training young religious, they're training young men who want to become traditional Orthodox priests, right? So I pledged $5,000. You doubled it, right? $10,000 you donated to give to these good and holy priests in Singida in Africa, every penny of which has already been wired months ago to the Holy Cross mission to help support the expansion project. This is so exciting. You gave the money. Walter's going to put some graphics up on the screen and show where your money has already been going, where it's already going. Because I'm just one of the climbers. All of us raised a bunch more money, you know, because word has gotten out that the faith is being kept in these places in Africa, and they are bursting at the seams. So you see what I'm saying? We're able to come together as American, mostly, tradition-minded Catholics to help this effort, to unite the clans, to push the good cause. You see, it's so exciting, right? So again, you gave the money, and now I got to come through on my end of the deal. Please God, I'm going to make this climb and do everything I can. I'm not getting any younger. I'm going to do everything I possibly can to make this climb in your name and for the greater honor and glory of God and for the support of the traditional Catholics and the traditional Catholic faith in Africa. So please, please, keep me in your prayers as we try to do this. And again, follow me on social media for all the updates that we'll be posting from Africa over the next couple of weeks. Now, that's a little bit of an explanation for why I feel so passionately about this. People might say, why does it matter so much? And the answer is, as far as I'm concerned, because in a way, Europe, you know, Hilaire Belloc famously said, the church is, the Catholic faith is Europe, Europe is the Catholic faith, right? I believe that finally we need to admit that the bastion of Christianity, Europe, has broken the covenant. They've broken the covenant. They've broken their covenant with God to an extent we all have been a part of that. And God is looking for other places, right, where he will see that his church survives. I think he's looking to Africa right now. I honestly do. Wonderful things are happening in Africa. Africa has become a wellspring of hope for the future of all of us, for the entire church. They're not giving up. And you know what I mean by that, because we all live through the Fiducia Supplicans issue, right? But Africa has been on the move from a Catholic point of view for a long time.
Africa's growing importance for the Catholic Church in the coming decades comes down to two major factors. First, the conversion of sub-Saharan Africa at the start of the 20th century is bearing fruits. Secondly, the growth of Africa's population in the 21st century is unique among all regions in the world. These two factors coming together signals that many of the missionaries of the 21st century will be coming from Africa. The globe's second largest continent by landmass, Africa was in 2020 home to a population of 1.3 billion people. 50% of that population is Christian, 17% is Catholic. Africa's Catholics already make up roughly 20% of the global Catholic population, but they're also the fastest growing Catholic region in the world. By 2050, the World Christian Database estimates that African Catholics will make up 32% of the Catholic Church.
So that part I think most of us knew. I think what especially a lot of American Catholics didn't realize is that there's also a rapidly growing traditional Catholic movement in Africa, and this is why we're going, it's why we're here, because Africa has become a crucial part of our Unite the Clans initiative here at the Remnant and elsewhere in the States, right? And this goes back a long time. Africa has been a place of interest for some very important Catholics for a long time. Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre of happy memory, for example, arguably one of the greatest, one of the most successful missionary priests of the 20th century. He was extremely successful in Africa, and his work is still bearing good fruit to this day.
He found himself at the head of missions. He built churches, schools, and clinics. He baptized, preached, and heard confessions. After 13 years in Gabon, the Superior General was calling him back to France. for in June 1947, Pope Pius XII appointed him to the See of Dakar, and so the Child of the North, the Bushman of Gabon, became a bishop at the age of 41. In 15 years, the number of ordinations doubled. Marcel Lefebvre's mission was huge. The office of Apostolic Delegate for French-speaking Africa was added to that of Archbishop. He thus became the representative of the Pope and the leading prelate in the whole continent.
It's interesting when you see and you think about and reflect on what was happening. Because Archbishop Lefebvre was in Africa, he was so embroiled in so dedicated to his work in Africa that he almost missed the Second Vatican Council. It seems like his heart was in Africa. He spent all of his energies there, made huge numbers of converts and so forth in Africa, and then came late to the game to the Second Vatican Council, right? And he's the one that was looking around saying, what's happening here? And he was the one that raised the most resistance. It almost seems like there's a correlation between the counter-revolutionary spirit and Catholic fidelity of Archbishop Lefebvre and his experience in Africa. And I think there's reason for that. And today, for all of us, it really should not have come as a huge surprise, you know, to any students of the Church's great missionary success in Africa over the 20th century, that it was, once again, the African bishops who led the charge against fiducia supplicans.
Following a declaration by the Catholic Church in blessing the same-sex couple, the declaration, which is titled Fiducia Supplicans, has so far garnered a strong reaction from various Catholic Church bishops across Africa.
We, in this diocese, and certainly in Malawi, are not going to allow the recommended blessings of same-sex union in our diocese.
Wengine mnayaita ndoa ya jinsia moja. Hakuna ndoa ya jinsia moja. Ndoa ni moja tu. Ni uhusiano wa mke na mume.
Yani, wanaume wawili. Akija kwako, mwambie apotelee.
Honestly, the clarity that the African bishops have demonstrated on these moral questions, moral issues, to me it reminds me once again of the Vendée, you know, in St. Louis de Montfort, the work that he had done as a missionary in France and making sure the faith was planted deeply in the soil of France was why the Vendeans were able to resist the revolution as they did. And I think the same could be said of Africa. The success of those early missionaries, the 20th century, was so monumental that right now the African people, the African priests, the African bishops are still responding to the powerful missionary spirit of the last century.
Religious ceremony in the heart of Africa. The audience of natives and whites is blessed by the Apostolic Vicar of Leopoldville in the Belgian Congo, Monsignor Cease, as he arrives to officiate at the public ordination of three African priests. An inspiring, if somewhat strange, spectacle as the disciples present themselves for elevation and divine guidance in their new office as priests of the Church. Adhering to the age-old ceremonials of the faith, they prostrate themselves before the authority of the papal delegate. Impressive rites in the ancient traditions of the Church of Rome in what was not so long ago the Dark Continent.
On the one hand, it's tragic. On the other hand, it's a beautiful indication of how God works, that at that time, the clip that we just saw, European missionaries, pre-Vatican II missionary priests, were going to Africa to preach the gospel, right? Today, 70, 80 years later, in this synodal nightmare through which we're all living, it's the Africans who have become the missionaries again, right? And that's a good example of how God's always going to work. He'll find his people. He'll find the children of light to do the work, to keep the faith alive, to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ now into the post-conciliar dark continents in Europe and in the Americas. This is a beautiful thing, an important thing. So yeah, I'm very excited about this sort of new venture here at the Remnant of reaching out to the clans of Africa, going to them, being with them, getting to know them, and inviting them to come to be with us as well, as we're doing with the CIC. And overall, just shoring up a much-needed, powerful alliance with our African brothers, right? So I've already accepted, in fact, an invitation to speak at a conference in Kenya next summer. So this is a continuing effort. I hope you'll pray for its success. I hope you'll see it as the workings of God's grace happening all around us now. Because, as we say, so often, and no Catholic should even need to be reminded of this, but the situation now is just so bad and so dark and so confusing that we need to remind ourselves this war is not lost. It never will be lost. God will be with us always, even unto the consummation of the world. Maybe he won't be with Americans, maybe he won't be with Europeans, but he will be with his church wherever it is faithful. And at the heart of that fidelity right now is Africa. And don't take my word for it. You know what's going on in Africa. Just ask the bad guys. Ask, for example, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Ask them what they think of Africa. Because for those demons, Africa is a target-rich environment. They're very threatened by Africa. They're going to do something about Africa, aren't they? They spend most of their time and money trying to crush the large African families, pumping contraception and abortion in sex education into the African communities, trying to wreck those Christian communities, the African census catholicus trying to wipe it out, right? With this new world order of theirs, this woke agenda of theirs, right? Including the transgender ideology and everything else. In fact, while I'm in Africa, one of the underground episodes that we're going to air here on the TV that Tess and Walter will drop while I'm away is an interview that I just did with the author of this book. Walter can throw it up on the screen so you can see what it is. This was written by the grandson of Dr. Halliday Sutherland, who was a very well-known Catholic doctor, who over in the UK, who was at the vanguard of trying to stop the culture of death warriors, which today are marshaling against the faithful in Africa, the Dr. Maurice Stopes Foundation, for example. So look for that interview. I'm not going to get into that tonight, but look for that interview. Maybe Walter will put a few seconds of that up on the screen. Look for that in a couple of weeks here at Remnant TV. Bottom line, friends, the Catholic revival is going to happen whether the Vatican permits it or not, whether the Vatican likes it or not. And it's just our job to be a part of it wherever we possibly can, to unite and to join forces to be a part of that, right? Last week we showed you 200,000 Hungarian Catholics on Pentecost pilgrimage in Romania, pledging fidelity, as I told you last week, to what they call the faith of our ancestors, what we call the faith of our fathers. So that's Catholic Hungarians, 200,000. We had 20,000 young people on the road to Chartres, which would be the largest youth gathering, certainly the largest traditional Catholic youth gathering on the European continent this summer. And did you notice something strange about that event, about the Chartres pilgrimage? Did you hear anybody talking about your bishop? Did he talk about it? Anything from the Vatican about the Chartres pilgrimage? No? Why do you suppose that is? Why are they ignoring these events? I think it's because the whole concept of the Church of Accompaniment is basically fake news. And how do we know that it's fake news? Well, let me count the ways. But how about this from Cardinal Muller to start with?
You just mentioned before in our conversation that you recently talked with a member of the Congregation for the Clergy about your impression from the pilgrimage of Chartres. Would you like to mention that to our listeners?
Spoke to one of a functioner of a congregation for Latin worship, and he said, "Yeah, it is more important that they are respecting the newer form of the Latin rite. If not, they should not come. It's better that they not come. It's better to have." Empty church, is that church full for this young people?
Now, did you catch that? According to a Vatican prelate, it would be better to have empty churches than to have 20,000 young Catholics whose only crime is to love the Latin Mass, whose only crime is to keep the faith, right? Now, to put this in context, in horrific context, imagine yourself as a young pilgrim, you know, all excited about the coming pilgrimage to Chartres. You're doing your best, you're praying your rosary, you're loving God, you're making preparations to be there. You're walking a very difficult pilgrimage. You train for months, spiritually, physically, you know, for the big challenge of the pilgrimage, only to be told by some creep inside the Vatican that he would rather you weren't there. That he'd prefer the Chartres Cathedral had been empty on Pentecost Monday. Friends, who is this monster? And how did he get into our church? This comes right from Cardinal Mueller. It's not some gossip. Cardinal Mueller is quoting what happened to him inside the Vatican when he mentioned the fact that he was so pleased by the Chartres pilgrimage. And that's the reaction. So if this isn't a hostile takeover of the Catholic Church, I don't know what a hostile takeover of the Catholic Church would be. This certainly is it.
Things, this is a system of self-revelation, and is the occupation of the Catholic Church is a hostile takeover. If they will succeed, but that will be the end of the Catholic Church, and we must resist.
Yeah, hostile takeover. Stay home. We don't want you. We don't want you. The Church of Accompaniment does not want you if you don't agree with everything we say, everything we do, right? And there's more. Right after the Chartres pilgrimage, the Vatican's Church of Accompaniment took a closer look, evidently, at this pilgrimage, too. The Vatican Dicastery of Divine Worship, reports Raticelli, has notified the Archdiocese of Oviedo that the pilgrims, get this, all those young people who are out there trying to do the right thing, they're all pro-life, they're all pro-family, they're all pro-Catholic, trying to do the right thing, every one of them, right? These pilgrims of the Spanish Our Lady of Christendom pilgrimage are forbidden to celebrate their Mass in the historic shrine of Covadonga, Our Lady of Covadonga. At the end of their pilgrimage. Forbidden. What for? What is wrong with these people? What is wrong with them? Here we go again, another youth event. The church is dying everywhere, parishes closing everywhere, right? This is a youth event. It's a thriving revival of Catholic fervor and practice of the faith. These kids in Spain, just like the kids in France, they don't know anything about Vatican II. They don't give a hang about Vatican II. They don't count themselves as counter-revolutionaries. They just love their faith. They love the faith of their fathers, the faith of their mothers. They want to practice it. And the Vatican is shutting them down like the child catcher in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang out searching for children who go to the Latin Mass. This is perverse beyond words. It's terrifying. They're shutting kids down who want to keep the faith. Why? Well, we know why. Cardinal Mueller just told us. Because the Vatican would prefer to see empty pews to thousands of young people whose crime is to love the Mass of all the saints in history. The Mass of John Paul, the Mass of Padre Pio, the Mass of Father Max Kolbe, everybody. St. Maria Goretti every day. The Mass from the 1940s, the Mass from the 1950s. And what does the Vatican say to people who want to go to that Mass? You guys can get the hell out of here, says the Vatican to kids wanting to walk to Chartres, kids wanting to walk to Covadonga. So there's your fake news, friends. There's your fake news of the Church of Accompaniment. It's not the Church of Accompaniment. It's the Church of Abandonment to anyone who disagrees with them. Whatever their agenda is, which at the moment seems to be mostly blessing homosexual couples. And the thing is, they say that we're the rad trads, right? We hear that a lot. Don't you hear that a lot? How mean they are. They're so mean. They're so opinionated. They're so nasty. They're rigid. Those traditional Catholics are so uncharitable. We're the ones who are uncharitable? We don't act like this. We don't do this. You know, we have friends, we have family, so many people. The vast majority of Catholics are still practicing the faith today are at the Novus Ordo Mass. We don't judge them. We don't condemn them. We're simply trying to restore sanity, liturgical sanity in our own lives by taking advantage of indults and decrees that are given by recent popes, the immediate predecessors of Francis.
We said yes. We wouldn't say that they shouldn't go to Mass on Sunday.
No, we'd never.
The church would be empty.
Right. We would never say that. It'd be better if they didn't go to Mass at all. Just stay home, watch the football game. So how do they get off now saying that we're the ones who are uncharitable, that we're the ones who are rigid and mean? Again, it's all fake and gay. Fake and gay, where this, friends, 2,000-year-old liturgy of the Catholic, this is forbidden by the Church of Accompaniment. Right? While this is not.
Unfortunately, this church here, Our Lady of Grace Church in Hoboken, New Jersey, is holding a pride mass, a sacrilegious and blasphemous pride mass today.
So this is a sacrilege, and I was baptized in this church. We have to come out here, we have to do public prayer reparation, and we have to do fasting.
But we also want to make a peaceful public witness that this is not what the church is meant to do. This is not what we're for. And this is a grievous offense that needs reparation, as you guys know very well.
The Pride Mass, the Sacred Heart Church. The Vatican goes out of its way to shut down the Latin Mass for which these iconic cathedrals was built in the first place, right? And then says not one word when this happens in the premier cathedral in New York City.
While the audience, packed with fellow trans and LGBTQ members and allies, roared in delight at the humor, members of the church balked. Bill Donahue from the more conservative Catholic League writing, "Men dressed as women and women dressed as men. At the service, many of those in attendance dressed as hookers danced in the aisles, sang Ave Cecilia when Ave Maria was sung."
So nobody from the Vatican has anything to say about that, but then the Vatican swoops down like a bat out of hell when somebody tries to say the Latin Mass in the Cathedral of Covadonga in Spain. Obviously, friends, the revolution is well out of the closet now. It's all out in the open. And the only thing that remains for us to do is just choose a side. Which side are you going to be on? And that's why it's so important that we have so many priests, so many bishops, so many cardinals who are agreeing with us now. Something's gone wrong inside the Vatican, right? We are appealing to authority too. And they're telling us, yes, says Cardinal Mueller, there is a crisis going on. This is the end of the Church of Jesus Christ if it continues.
If they will succeed, that will be the end of the Catholic Church, and we must resist.
Yeah. So, where do you stand? With them? Or with them? With Christ? I know where I stand, which is why right now I'm in Africa to, yes, unite the clans, confident in God's ultimate victory and in the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary as promised. It's not a matter of if it's going to happen, friends. It's a matter of when.